Great. Okay, welcome. I know it's late in the afternoon, so we will go through as fast as we can. And this is an intervention. We decided a couple of years ago to do something with teens. And there is a whole cast of characters here, some of whom are in the audience, who have helped do this. And I want to just recognize Nancy Wongvipat from HealthNet of California, and Philip Massey, who's a doctoral student at UCLA. And is there anybody else out there that was working on this, has been working very hard for the last year and a half on this? So what we were interested in are adolescents, and we teamed with a health insurance company who actually manages hundreds of thousands of people, and at least last count 150,000 teenagers who are between the ages of about 13 and 17, and I'm sure I have my statistics wrong, but they also manage kids who have what we call public insurance, like Medicaid or healthy families. In California, of course, we call it something different, Medi-Cal, and no, we do call it healthy families. SHIP is the national terminology. So what our issue is, and these are all our players, by the way, and I'll get into it later, but we have a health insurance company, we have a university, we have a technology company who's helping us with our website, we have a communication company, and of course we're funded by NIH, which was very nice. And I have no financial disclosures, and nor do any of my colleagues, I believe. I hope not. Anyway, so we were interested in understanding not so much the straight-ahead adolescent health problems of, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll and all that. We were really interested in this issue of healthcare literacy and how can a teen with health insurance navigate through the arcane system that we now have, which is called healthcare. How can an adult with a college degree navigate through that system? It's even harder when you are probably the first one in your family to have health insurance. You may be having a different health insurance plan than your mother, your father, your sibs. So the issue becomes, how do you as a teenager know how to go to the doctor, know what your benefits are, learn how to navigate that system? And we wanted to also teach this new generation of healthcare consumers how to be more engaged in their healthcare. And so this is a very, very expanded definition of healthcare literacy. We were less concerned about reading level and what we call numeracy and the standard literacies. Of course, we're very concerned about that, but we really wanted to broaden and say, how can we create an evidence-based practice with a beginning, middle, and an end, and see if we can shift behavior around the utilization of healthcare in this particular target audience. And so what we decided is we were going to use a social media platform, because we know from the Pew Internet and American Life Study, and what will we do without that, that many, many teens use Facebook and MySpace and all of these new types of communication strategies. And so we said, well, why not? Look, we've been doing internet sites forever with teens, but let's go a little bit further and see if we can get some community of kids. And we just so happen to have a beneficiary population of about 55,000 kids. Now, we're not going to be able to get all of them on for this particular study, but at least we can pilot something to see if it will work. So this is a very much can this work kind of study. So again, we have an RCT. We're doing the whole very NIH version of reality here, where we have a intervention group and a control group, et cetera, and we're collecting all kinds of information. And I'm not going to get too much into that. I really just want to talk about the development of the web site that we are doing and the rationale for why we're doing what we're doing. Now, let me also just say, I don't know if I clicked that or not, There is one thing I should mention. We do have some pretty solid outcomes that we're looking at. And one of the big issues in adolescent health, as in all healthcare, is this overutilization of the emergency room and the underutilization of preventive healthcare. All the kids that are in this study have benefits where they can actually get every year a health and adolescent well care visit. The problem is it's a minority of children in the teenage years who use that benefit. Oftentimes they'll wait till they have an emergent condition or some non-emergency, but it's serious enough so they will go to the ER room. So one of the things that we are interested in is can we shift the behavior more towards primary care use and away from the emergency room. And as you can imagine, there is a cost-effectiveness issue here. These are the kids. They were living in California. They have these insurance benefits. And again, in California, 88% of adolescents have some form of health insurance. And almost 30% have one of these types of insurance. More and more health insurance companies are the ones who are managing their care. And again, it's not as though they don't have a usual source of care. Most of them have a primary care physician. They have places they can go. And of course, there's a large ethnic contingent in this group. Now, again, as I noted, and I've gotten ahead of myself as usual, it's an expanded definition. It's not just the version of literacy that has to do with readability and that kind of thing. It's really appropriate use of care, understanding your benefits, understanding your rights and responsibilities, knowing how to call your doctor, knowing how to navigate the system. I actually think this is a typo, but Nancy, you can correct me. Did 77% of teens? That seems very high. I think that's all teens. I think it's not necessarily the public insurance teens because our statistics were around 40%. Okay. Fewer than 50% used it is what I'm thinking. And especially teens oftentimes didn't understand what the concept even of primary health care provider was. Okay. Now, we've all heard teens are online. This is not untrue for the teens in this program. We've done a number of studies, and I will be reporting focus group results. These kids are online, perhaps not as much as some other kids that we hear about, but they're texting. They're not tweeting so much. They're really using MySpace and Facebook a lot. Going back to our RCT, what we have is a study population of this amount. We're recruiting only the kids with Medi-Cal and healthy families, so that's an N of 56,000. We're assuming a 10% response rate. We are right in the process of collecting our baseline data, and I can tell you all the trials and tribulations of getting to that point with our IRB. We're about halfway there in terms of our recruitment. We have at this point about 1,800 to 2,000 recruited, and we are doing everything we can to get the other few thousand in. And what we will do is then split them. There will be a group that gets onto the social media website and a group that does not. They'll just get usual care, which is mainly print media. So we were interested right from the get-go, what's going to pull a teen to do anything? I mean, they're so saturated with other things that they can do. And essentially, we wanted to know what their attitudes were towards access to care. We wanted to know what they did, obviously, to keep healthy, what they thought the health issues were, what their rights and responsibilities were, and obviously what they did on the internet and their social networking, their e-health literacy, and their utilization. So we did a number of focus groups. A typo. Don't ask me how that crept in. I swear it's 12, not 2. And we did specific content design with them around various issues. We've also done a lot of interviews with healthcare providers throughout California who work with adolescent populations. So what did we find? Well, we were not sex, drugs, and guess what? Obesity seemed to be the number, the problems where the teens felt that there was the most room for improvement among them and their peers. And here are some quotes. I'm going to say pregnancy, STDs, and drug use. Like kids at school, they eat all this junk food and it's like nasty, okay? So they're very aware of the obesity issue, which is good. They do not necessarily see that the doctor is going to help them with their health promotion or preventive health behaviors. They don't understand, and this is very interesting. So we knew we were onto something here. Every time you get sick is when you go to the doctor, said one teen. I don't see no point going to the doctor, for example, when you're not sick. Why go? So again, we want to shift that idea that you don't go just when you're sick, you go when you to stay well, because doctors now have a lot to say about obesity and drugs and smoking and all those other kinds of risk factors that teens engage in. Now, teens did say, sometimes I just can't get to the doctor. I don't have a ride. I can't get an appointment. My parents work three jobs, et cetera, et cetera. So they face many barriers. They hate waiting, as most of us do. They're also confused about this notion of a primary health care provider and the notion that they should be establishing a relationship. Many of these kids grew up going to free clinics, and that's their version of how you seek health care. It's not like, oh, I have this physician, and sometimes they get, shuffled around and physicians move and leave. So one of the things, again, that we want to teach them is, you need to pick your physician. You have a choice, and you can pick a physician that you like, and you can change physicians if you don't like the physician you've been assigned. They did seem to have some handle on their rights, which was the notion that they can get reproductive health care, it can be confidential, they don't have to tell their parents. There has been a big movement in California to teach kids and teens their rights. So we're less concerned about that and more concerned just about the simple fact that they don't maybe know who their primary care physician is. And that's, unfortunately, these days, entree into the system. They do use social media. MySpace for younger teens, and then somehow there's this magical transition between 15 and 16, and they go to Facebook, and I don't really understand that. But they don't use Twitter, and that was interesting. Very few of the teens that we talked to use Twitter. But like adults, they found getting health information online was very confusing. That they would go to lots of sites, things would be inconsistent, not clear. I think the point that was made earlier that it's not necessarily literacy, it's how navigable these sites are is absolutely true. Again, there's all kinds of sites that masquerade as bona fide health sites. So if anybody can do it, maybe CDC can or NIH, please let's rate these sites a little bit and get that organized. Okay, so here's our flash page, our splash page for our Teens to Extreme. The site just went live a week or two ago, and I'm sorry I don't have the link, but these are a set of revolving pictures that we've pre-tested to death, I think, and we've named the site Teen to Extreme because, again, we're trying to get these kids excited about their health and preventing health. And we have lots and lots of ideas here. Basically, we have what we call hooks, okay? So how do you get somebody to read something? Well, look, teens want things that are funny, that are amusing, that are hip, that are cool, all right? So we've started with things like appearance, okay? And so this is an example of questions and polls that we take to pull the teens in. Yes, we have seeded it with some Confederates, but that's how you build a community online. It's very different from a traditional website where it's more of a flat landscape. In this landscape, your membership grows and then your interactivity follows. And so the way that you do it is create what we call hooks. So what are the hooks that we're doing? So the first thing that we're doing are what we call social activities. And these are, you can put your profile on, you can get status updates of your friends who might be on this site, you can invite your friends. So even though we're doing an RCT with 2,800 kids, we've said they can invite their friends on. They can actually have people they know on this site. They can upload photos, they can upload videos, they can blog, there's some games that we are acquiring, there's some trivia, and we're not quite sure at this point which of these things are going to be the things that not only engage them, but that keep them, so I'm throwing out a big list. My guess is in 6 months, we will have a list half this size, because we're not quite sure yet what's gonna work. So that's sort of the first layer. The second layer is what I call health issues. So we'll hook them with things to do, then we'll hook them with things that they're interested in. So appearance, sex, that's sex sells. Stress, big issue among this group. Obesity, infectious disease. Now that might not be necessarily quite as big a draw, but hopefully we'll figure out a way to make it interesting, particularly around flu season. Fitness, violence, relationships, driving, safety, drugs. Now what we're doing is every month we're highlighting a different group of these things. And again, we're just layering here because our real issue is this stuff. We're trying to get them hooked in with games and activities around issues they might be interested in to help them understand why they need to get an annual well care visit, what they have to do to establish a good doctor-patient relationship, how can they actually navigate the healthcare system and get referrals and specialty care and help when they need it, what is it that their benefits allow them to get, and finally, how they find out about health and healthcare seeking. So our real goal is to push this, but instead of starting with that, we're starting with the, I would say, more fun things. So it's really this idea that we've had for a while, which is we know that kids do go online to seek out health things. How can you keep them on the site? How can you get them engaged in the site? And as you said, it's ground zero for us because this went live about 2 weeks ago. Again, I don't know if you can see this. I tried to get it bigger. But the idea here would be a poll. What do you think is the most common reason people or teens go to a therapist? Again, they can poll it. Then there's an immediate feedback loop there after a couple of sessions where people can actually see what people answered. Then there's a theme activity, and we get them to think about it, think about feeling sad. Is it depression? Is it not depression? And then what would you do if you felt depressed? Would you seek out care? Do you know that you have the right to counseling or mental health benefits, et cetera, based on your health care plan? Again, this is another one. I know time is probably running out, but this would be a weight-related, obesity-related tag. How do you lose weight? What is the right way to lose weight? How can you work with your healthcare provider to, in fact, do it right? Now, I will say something. All of these kids also have a benefit, which is ask a nurse, and they can actually go and call HealthNet and actually ask questions and get answers. So that's another benefit that we're trying to teach them to use. How are we doing on time? I have 2 minutes. So I know this is very fast. I haven't gone over all the variables in our RCT, but we're measuring everything, of course. We are, as he said, just fielding the baseline now. We will be coming back in a year to do the follow-up. We will be rolling out this site. This site will be expanding, evolving, and hopefully increasing in its reach over the next year. But what have we learned here? Well, we have learned that it is really hard to set up a really good social media site. And we think this is really good. It has taken us a year of intensive work to think this through. Because look at all the issues that we're dealing with. We're dealing with funny stories. We're dealing with getting kids to actually do something interactive. We're trying to pull them to some larger issues. There's issues with hooks, branding, community building. It's not for the faint of heart. Now, the other issue that's dogged us this whole time is this tension between research and this creative process. And our problem has been, we've had a very, 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 I don't know, what's the word I want to say? I'm trying to find a nice word. Our IRB has been very threatened by this. I can only say, because we're going online, we're doing a teen community, and they're so worried. And we keep saying, wait a minute, these are kids enrolled in an insurance plan, and this is not an open site, and it's all restricted, but that's for some reason been a little difficult to get through. So it took us about 15 months to get our IRB finally approved, but I don't want to go there. So the research lags because, you know, of this interesting disconnect. And again, the research itself, we were very concerned about long questionnaires. We had real difficulty finding a good health literacy measure. You know, the TOEFL and the realms just don't work on a teen questionnaire. We ended up using the newest vital sign. I don't know how many of you know about that one. It's where they read a nutrition label about ice cream and tell you how many calories are in it. We're a little concerned that that's not going to be a very good indicator either. So there are a lot of issues in understanding and measuring health literacy right now. But we're really happy we did this in the era of healthcare reform, because learning how to navigate your healthcare benefits or insurance plan is not just a teen issue. It is a huge issue. And the more we can do very, targeted, evidence-based intervention research around this issue, I think that will be putting us in a good place when and if healthcare reform, as healthcare reform gets implemented, we will need more and more of these kinds of ideas going forward to help everybody learn how to use their healthcare benefits. Thank you. Okay.
So, I want to thank all of the presenters for some very excellent insights and give them another round of applause. And at this point, do you have any questions? We left all questions at the end. You want to come to the microphone?
Yeah, we got an R1, and I'm sorry, I didn't get the last page. What we know that a startup is always costly, and the real issue is, once you start these things, can you sustain them? And our goal ultimately will to be make something like this self-sustaining. I can't tell you in terms of actual time, a lot of this is donated time, how much it would cost. But we're not talking, you know, I don't even want to hazard a guess because there's so many different variables that go into this. Let's say it's more than 100,000, but it's less than two. But, you know, doing a wonderful video or all kinds of things can cost a lot of money. The goal is, can you over time, though, make something like this sustainable? And my guess, too, is over time it's going to be easier to do this because we'll figure out what the right way and what the wrong way. So we're doing a lot of things that I think might end up in dead ends, and I just think this is where we are right now in this. Right. It's moderated, meaning there are rules. So everybody who joins the club, so to speak, has to abide by the rules, just like Facebook or any legitimate site. And so if somebody, so before we post anything, it goes through a review. And so that's part of the other piece here that we're realizing is this whole media literacy and how do you teach kids what's useful, what's, let's say, good to post and perhaps not. So I think there is this whole other dimension that's starting to creep in, which is we have to do some media literacy training too to help these kids know what's a good thing to post and maybe what's not. Yes, yeah, we have dedicated people who are reviewing what the kids actually contribute. And we don't yet have a policy, you know, we can ban a kid from being on it, but I'm not sure that's the right policy at this. I mean, we don't have an alternative, but it would be good to also do some training about why you didn't get on this time and what you can do about it. Yes. Yes. Yeah, we're using a program, the name of which is escaping me at the moment. Do you know what it is, Nancy? Okay, it's a Facebook-like application. So we can also link to Facebook. So if the kids have Facebook accounts, they can link to that. And I wish I had our developer here and he could probably tell you in much more coherent. But there is a software that they have acquired that they're using. So it's a Facebook-like. But they can link it to MySpace, to Facebook, to anything like that. Yes. Yes. Our hope is that this will be a positive as opposed to a negative experience, that they will learn to value, you know, certain relationships that they have. Can we control everything on the site? People who've done these sites say you're really curating it. You're not really creating it. You're trying to foment some degree of participation. What I really hope is that we start rethinking how we think about health promotion, that it's not just us telling them, but it's us helping manage the conversation, because that's what's happening in all the media now, in the news media. And so that's really the goal here. And how can you help push that conversation a little bit to issues that perhaps are more important? But we know that there's going to be trivia that comes up.
We take two more questions, and then you want to.
Yeah. In fact, that's been a subject of a lot of conversation. There could be some contamination. On the other hand, remember, these kids are all living throughout California. So the likelihood that it's going to be, it's not like a school site where it would definitely be a problem. Yeah. So hopefully it'll be minimized.
Last question.
In terms of literacy,
yes.
And for those of us who do research on this area, it is really overwhelming the tools that are out there to measure health literacy. And there are obviously the one developed by the VA, which is 16 items with a unit.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we pre-tested that one, the short TOEFLA, or the... Yeah. Right, right. There was one that we did use, and the problem was that the terms were not terms that teens would know. And so what we found is there was, if you had never been in the healthcare system, you wouldn't know what some of these terms. So a lot of the standardized measures are very focused on older populations. So, and I know there are people now working on measures of health literacy for teens. Yeah, we tried that too, and it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
We were doing recruit. We were just trying to recruit users who had more limited health literacy skills. So for us, a proxy was good enough, but it would be really different depending on the type of research or intervention you were doing. So.
Thank you very much for coming to this session. Please remember to take the schedule of the health communication working group events, and if you can, come to our business meeting tonight. Thanks a lot.